This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I am your host, Dr. Kat. On our episode today, we are talking with therapist Laura Galindo. She is sharing with us the importance of talking about mental health and perinatal mental health, especially when you're in the field of mental health, because there can be so much additional shame around it as a clinician or therapist, or helper for that matter. And there can be a lot of assumptions about therapists or helpers in the field, thinking that they might not need help because they themselves have been through school or have had training, but that's just not the case. We are still humans, and we still deal with a lot of things that other people deal with. Even though we might have unique perspective or training on how to cope and deal with things, it does not mean that we're not affected. Laura is going to be talking about what went on for her and what was helpful during her struggle, as well as how postpartum impacts relationships around you. Now, a lot more people these days are coming out talking about their experience of becoming pregnant or giving birth in and around the start of the pandemic or during the pandemic. And it has really had a massive impact on a lot of new parents. It is such a unique period of time, the pandemic, and the way it has impacted so many people. We are just really beginning to hear about the shorter-term impacts, but also the longer-term impacts of the stress and the anxiety and the isolation that people felt as parents. Layer on top of that, being a therapist while you're also trying to help other people through this very challenging time of the pandemic, and it is a recipe for high stress. Laura is a licensed marriage and family therapist in California, New York, and Connecticut, where she currently resides. She's been in the field for over a decade, providing therapy to individuals who are chronically mentally ill. She has also worked with those who are actively serving in the U.S. military. Laura currently runs her own private practice in Connecticut and is certified in DBT, Dialectical Behavior Therapy, EMDR, and perinatal mental health. Join me in welcoming Laura. Welcome, Laura. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Kat.
I appreciate that you want to come on and share about your journey. And looks like the COVID and pandemic really impacted things as well, which a lot of people are dealing with. So I'm grateful that you're sharing your story and how you got through that. So I welcome you to start wherever you're comfortable.
Thank you. So I'm a mom of two right now. I have a 5.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And if we rewind back to March of 2020, where I think most people can remember exactly what they were doing and where they were at in that time period, my due date with my second daughter was March 5th of 2020. And leading up to it, everything was great. No issues, nothing. No issues in my previous pregnancy either. And she came on March 4th. So this was about a week before everything shut down. So luckily, I was able to have my husband with me when I gave birth to her. We were able to have family members come to the hospital. All of that stuff played out exactly how I had anticipated it to based on having my first daughter. And so I remember about a week into being home, we got a call, of course, like most people, that my daughter's school had closed for about 2 weeks. And yeah, that was so not what I thought was going to happen. That was not how I planned my maternity leave to look like. And so I was home with a three-year-old and a newborn. Thankfully, my husband, he used to travel a lot for work and he wasn't able to travel at all, which I think looking back was a real blessing, not knowing what we were going to go through, but with hindsight. And I remember looking at my husband saying, like, what are we going to do with a three-year-old who still needs a lot of our attention and a newborn? And at that time, my youngest, she wasn't showing any signs of discomfort or unhappiness. She was still just sleeping nicely. And about 2 weeks after I had her, so we were a week into the pandemic, she started screaming and crying, I mean, nonstop. And with my first daughter, she was what I now call my unicorn baby or the trick baby.
Yeah.
The one where I said I'd have six just like her. Mm-hmm. She slept from 7 weeks on, no issue. She would never cry, just a true angel. And then we had my second one. And I mean, it was just the complete opposite. She, nothing you would do would calm her. And you could tell that she was in distress and discomfort. And there was nothing that I could do. I was breastfeeding at the time with her. And that in and of itself has always been a struggle, but I felt like I needed to prove to myself that I could do it again. And then I finally, after talking to the pediatrician many times, asking like, what is going on with her? And she said, well, let's cut out dairy. Maybe it's dairy in your diet. And so a month later, we're still having the same issues and I'm unhappy because I'm not having dairy. Right. And so then we supplemented with formula and that wasn't working. So then we had to get a special formula, which the cost of that was just very difficult to swallow, knowing that I could produce milk and that wasn't what she needed in that time. I mean, we would have to run around just to get her to sleep. She would only sleep on us and we had to be moving. Mm. So we would do laps in our house. We would be driving everywhere. One of us would always be walking the neighborhood. I mean, for 8 hours a day, like it was a lot with a three-year-old still at home, not really understanding what's going on.
Right.
Family members weren't able to come and visit. They did meet her in the hospital, but again, fast forward a month into the pandemic, our parents are not young. And so in order to protect them, they wanted to keep their distance. So it was about 3 months or so before they saw her again. And in that point, it was just me and my husband kind of tag teaming everything. And of course, just not knowing how serious the pandemic was going to get, how long it was going to last, not knowing when my daughter, my older one, was going to go back to school. So there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of help that we were unable to receive. I know with my first daughter, luckily I was able to go to a lactation consultant. I was able to go to women mom support groups in person and all of those things, which were really helpful. Those weren't happening. Not even virtually. If I remember correctly, I think it was still so new that we couldn't quite figure that part out yet. And so for several months, it was so isolating. I had a couple other friends that also gave birth at that time. Well, not at that time, but a 2 month or two behind me. And so their experiences were very different than mine were. And it was just such a very dark time. There weren't too many people that really understood what we were going through. A lot of people would downplay, like, oh, she can't be that bad. And I mean, it was not super validating.
No, not at all.
And it was hard. It was hard on me, on my body physically. It was hard on me emotionally. I think it took a toll on my marriage, which we're everything's great now. But I mean, it was a really hard time. We also decided to move during my maternity leave. So we had a 5-week-old and we moved. So we were packing up the house at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Which again, just another added stress. And so, I mean, just having boxes everywhere. And again, we had to put a vacuum up to my daughter's ear just to get her to sleep. I mean, it was just pulling out all the stops and everything that I was like, oh, I don't know why people ever need to do this. And then here we go. And so it was really, really difficult. And I remember at my 6-week postpartum appointment, I was actually really looking forward to that appointment because I was like, something's not quite right. I mean, I loved her very much, but I just had these thoughts of like, what the hell did we do? Mm-hmm. Like what this is. And there were times, and my husband and I, we talk about this a lot, how there were times where I truly thought the hospital had to have switched the babies. There's mm-hmm. no way that this could be mm-hmm. my child mm-hmm. because we did put her in the nursery for the last night. And I was like, man, like, I wonder if she would have acted like this if we didn't do that, if we somehow switched the babies. And I was going through all of these irrational thoughts and just really beside myself. Nothing was working. I think I purchased every single like sleep sack. Mm. At a point of desperation, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. She's screaming.
Right.
I'm exhausted. My husband was back to work at that point. I'm like, something's got to give. And packages mm-hmm. would just start arriving of things from pure desperation, which of course never worked. Then there was also this really deep feeling of mom guilt because I'm trying to give my attention to this newborn who desperately needs our help. Mm-hmm. And I still have my 3-year-old at home mm-hmm. who has no clue. She just went from being an only child for the last 3 years to now secondary in a lot of different ways. And then, of course, all this extra noise in the house that she wasn't used to. So there was a lot of moving parts that all happened at the same time. And I have a lot of resentment towards the pandemic, just kind of in general, thinking like, okay, things might have been a lot easier had we not been in lockdown, had my my oldest been in school. But I think at the end of the day, she was still going to have colic. She was still going to be just so uncomfortable. It was still going to be difficult regardless, but we had a lot of added stressors to it, which did not make it easy at all. So, so I remember going to my 6-week postpartum appointment, which was virtual. Mm-hmm. And I remember the doctor asking how I was doing and I just lost it. Cause I think that was the first time anybody actually like asked me like, mm-hmm. how are you actually doing? And she was like, oh boy. and so she gave me the Edinburgh scale and we went through everything. And before she even tallied it up, I was like, I know I'm depressed. I know this is not me. This is not how I anticipated things to go. This is not how I was when I was postpartum before. So she was really great talking to me and of course, giving me resources and therapists. And I think there was also this shame component that I have or that I had with it, where as a therapist myself, admitting that there's something wrong, that I'm not doing okay, I feel like there was that added guilt, shame, because I'm a therapist. I should know how to deal with this. I should know how to coping skills to use. And I just, there were no skills. There was nothing that would work. I mean, there were nights where I wouldn't be able to sleep and I would have panic attacks and I'd come downstairs and just like stare at like a blank screen. Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was not fun. Definitely not the maternity leave that I anticipated I was going to have.
No, not at all.
And so thankfully my doctor connected me with a therapist who I still see, who I love. And we did some EMDR work around it, which was amazing, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is wonderful. It works really well with trauma, anxiety, depression, just so many things. And so that really, really helped. And then I also remember having a couple conversations with my husband, just like, this isn't right. And I remember one day him telling me, go take the car, go drive somewhere. And my first thought was, well, where the hell am I going to go? Everything's closed. I can't go anywhere. I mean, I can maybe go for a walk somewhere, but even then, like, we didn't know what we know now about the pandemic. So I was like, where am I going to go? I can't go to Target and just like walk around. You know, there were lines to get into places at that point, like Costco, you had to wait in line.
Yep.
And then the other part of me was, if I leave, I don't know if I'll ever come back. There were thoughts of like, God, like I'm glad I can't go anywhere because if I did, maybe I'd be gone for a week or two or a month or like, and that really, that scare the crap out of me.
Right.
Because that's not who I am. And so it was just one thing after another. And then I remember specifically on Mother's Day, him asking me like what I wanted to do, knowing clearly it's been a struggle the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. I said, I just want to go for a walk. I just want to go for a walk by myself. And that release, I don't know what it was that day. It was the release that I needed. And from that day forward, I have been a huge believer in the idea of movement is medicine, whether it's yoga, whether it's stretching, that really seemed to help me, whether it's running on the treadmill or outside, but it was the release that I needed. And it didn't dawn on me before then. So I was suffering for about 2 months and it didn't really dawn on me before then that, oh yeah, like I can move my body. I'm able to do that, thankfully. And I remember that was my one thing since that Mother's Day, that every day after that I had to move and not with a baby on me, not bouncing up and down, right. Like in moving for me and not for anybody else. And so that, I think, in combination with therapy, just was really like my saving grace at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was supposed to go back to work, seeing clients and everything, full caseload, 80 plus people at a community health agency. Oof. And that's a lot to begin with.
It is.
And I remember my maternity leave starting to come to an end. And I was torn. I had this panic of, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be ready to go back. How can I, you know, possibly provide therapy and help other people when I am in such a, I don't know, dark, clouded place? Mm-hmm. And then the other side of me was, get me out of this house. I need to go do something that has not required me to jump up and down with a baby and rock and move and all of this. And so I remember talking with my husband and I said, I'm going to see if I can go back early, which again is so not, I was really looking forward to a long maternity leave, but given the circumstances, I needed that distraction. I needed to be away. And so I shortened my maternity leave by about 2.5 weeks just because I needed that separation. Mm-hmm. And with that came a whole lot of guilt and shame as well, because there's so many moms, dads out there with, what do you mean you don't want to take your whole maternity leave? What do you mean you're coming back? And so having to explain myself in certain situations or what came up, like, oh, you're back so early. And there was this shame, like, God, like I'm doing something wrong. I'd rather be at work than be home with my baby. And, you know, there was just a lot of emotions going on at that time. I think the distraction helped, at least for me, going back to work and not having that same responsibility, or at least I knew that there was an end to my mom time and being mom, and then I could go put my therapy hat on. Mm-hmm. But that's basically the the story of what my maternity leave looked like, the postpartum pieces. I'm really fortunate that I have a good foundation. I've got a couple of really close family members. I've got some really close friends that I felt okay talking to. But again, right, you couldn't actually see them or hug them because there was COVID going on. So just a very isolating experience.
Yeah.
And so I think talking about it has been really helpful, whether it's to a friend or a client that might find it useful of some sort, obviously not in so much detail, but just for some additional support, I think it's been really helpful. So yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's really so, I mean, there's so many things that came together at the exact wrong time.
Yeah.
For loads and loads of people during COVID as it relates to birth and postpartum. But each person's story is still so individual.
Yeah.
Even though there was this collective trauma happening. But specifically when you were talking about your how movement was helpful for you, it, like all prior to that, it doesn't sound like it was even available to you to think about what could help you, because you were just so in it.
Yeah, I was so in it. And I've got lots of skills that I tell my clients all the time. And I had the blinders on and I couldn't see anything except what was right in front of me at that moment. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think about dinner. Mm-hmm. My husband had to remind me to like take a shower. He's like, it's been a couple of days. Like, have you showered? Mm-hmm. Didn't cross my mind. If he wasn't cooking for me, I wasn't eating. Mm-hmm. It was really survival mode. And there was, I wasn't able, I couldn't see anything. My memory was really bad.
Yeah.
I remember having really bad headaches. I just felt like all aspects of my life were just kind of crashing faster than I could even attempt to pick up any of the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point it all somehow came together, but I will never forget that Mother's Day where it just something clicked. And that was all I needed. And every day after that, I was like, I got to go run. I got to go stretch. I need to sweat. I need to do something. Mm-hmm. And I kicked myself for a while. Like, God, why did it take me so long to figure that out? But when you're in it and we had no idea how long the pandemic was going to last. Heck, I mean, we're still kind of in it. like we didn't know what any of that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And me not knowing where the finish line was made it almost worse.
Right.
If somebody said like, okay, you're only going to deal with this for 3 months and then it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I think I'd be That'd able be to different. Manage that a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things happening during that time that would, you know, that a lot of people experience as traumatizing. It's just so hard to think about, as you said, outside of the survival mode frame of mind, but it's like, there are so many levels of survival mode. Like survival through the pandemic, survival with a colicky baby, survival with a 3-year-old and a baby, and like doing it on your own and not having sleep. And I mean, there's in and around like sometimes the 2-ish month mark, maybe sooner, people start to acclimate a little bit to their sleep deprivation.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you feel better.
Oh,
there are just so many levels of difficult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, I think it went on like this for probably, I'd say, the first 6 or 7 months of her life. So even once I returned back to work, it wasn't like she had outgrown it at that point.
Yeah.
But we had a part-time nanny come to help us. My husband was still home. He wasn't traveling, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But between the three of us, we were able to kind of tackle it. But it was just, I mean, it, and there's these poor people out there that suffer with it for like 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can go on for a very long amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful that it only lasted 6 or 7 months, but it was still, I swear it felt like it was 2 years.
Right.
And it was hard to bond with her too, because it was, and then that whole had a whole nother batch of emotions that came with it. It was a lot all at once. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It's that other additional layer of constant, what I would assume is overstimulation.
Yeah.
With the crying all the time, like you needing that escape, just let me get back to work. And by the way, I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing that, because a lot of moms feel that too.
Yeah.
And dads, partners have that feeling, but it often feels like you're alone when you have that feeling, but it happens. And that was your truth.
Oh yeah. It's taken a while to be able to admit that and not feel like a horrible mom or, you know, but I've learned through this experience that I cannot be a good mom, a good wife, a good therapist, a good friend, anything like that. I have to fill my cup first.
Mm-hmm.
And if that meant going to work 2.5 weeks sooner than I was supposed to, so be it. But I needed, in order to be able to take care of her later in the day, I needed to have my energy balanced between something else. And it's so important to find something, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, but finding something to kind of balance that out so that you have other purposes and not just holding a baby or bouncing or feeding. There's so many other things that can help kind of fill your cup if you need that.
Yeah.
This podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is. These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor, and it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code momandmind50 at factormeals.com/momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
So going back to that, when you did return back to work and you're getting peppered all of these questions or opinions maybe too, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that came in. How did you deal with that? Or I guess, what did you say to people? And then what was happening for you internally too?
Sure. I'll kind of answer it in two different parts. One will be how I answered it with the clients. Because before I had her, we were in person. So I couldn't hide that I was pregnant. They very much knew I was showing. And so when I returned and I had a full schedule, every single one, how's the baby? How's she doing? And each one was a bit of a trigger. I had a couple clients that said, oh, I didn't think you'd be back so soon. Mm-hmm. Like I was expecting you to come back in July. Mm-hmm. And so my answers to them were very different, of course. And I said, yeah, I'm back. I decided to come back early and kind of played it pretty cool. But it was very triggering because they were even asking like, okay, how is it being back knowing you got both your kids? And then with COVID, they were asking about that. And
right.
And so at some point I said, okay, like enough about me. I'm back. Let's catch me up on what's been going on in your life in the last 3 months. More so with work people, when I returned, we were strictly telehealth, which I had never done. We were never given the opportunity to do that before. Yeah. So I feel like I had to learn a whole new part of my job all over again.
Yeah.
I had clients that I had never met before that were strictly telephone. And so that was also really difficult to form a relationship when I felt like I also wasn't at my best to form relationships because I was still in treatment. I was still getting the help that I needed. And so that was tricky in and of itself. Yeah. And then with some of the other staff members, I had one close friend who knew what I was going through. And so that was nice to be able to reach out to her if I felt kind of inundated or overwhelmed or stressed. But some of them, a lot of them were saying, you're back so soon. And how is it? Isn't it so great? And you're so lucky that your whole family was home during this because of the pandemic. Everything was closed. And it took everything in my head not to say like, are you frigging kidding me? Right. Like it was horrible. It couldn't have gone much worse. Looking back, I think, yes, there was some blessings in that, like that my husband wasn't traveling. I honestly don't know what I would have done if he was traveling as much as he usually is. And so I think that really saved us in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But it probably took a good another 3 months or so after I got back to work for me to actually feel like back in the rhythm. I felt when I was so depressed, it slowed me down. So my thinking wasn't as clearly. And so I had to kind of revisit all the coping skills and strategies techniques that I would share with my clients. And it felt like I was doing therapy for the first time all over again, because I had a whole new fresh pair of eyes, but they still were not experienced while dealing with this on the side. And so it was really tricky. And I think I remember around Christmas of 2020 is when I finally felt not normal by any means, but I felt like, okay, I think I can still be doing therapy. And I think I got a good balance going right now. But it took quite a while. And I was even kind of questioning, like, is this for me still? Like, mm-hmm. is this, what am I going to do if I have a client that has postpartum, or what am I going to, you know, and being able to find, okay, like, how much do I share? How do I not cry with them? Yeah. Because it was still so fresh to me. And so mm-hmm. being able to find that balance was really hard. And it still is in certain situations when I have clients now, because I see a lot of women with perineal mental health and what that balance is. And if there's any suggestions or strategies that I can give them that maybe they haven't tried yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, going back to work was a whole nother battle that I, again, wasn't prepared for, didn't think it was going to be. Right. But I got triggered more so than I thought I would.
Yeah, it's a massive change. I mean, it would be without COVID, yeah. But with all of those additional layers. So you were like working from home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with I was working from home with a
also.
Baby crying upstairs. Yep, so yep. Here in my basement, baby crying upstairs, screaming.
Could you hear it? Could you hear your baby? Okay.
Every once in a while, I had a client like, what is that? Which again was also, I was also like, oh God, like you can hear, I'm so sorry. But then also like, I felt bad that I'm here, I'm in the home and I can't go help. Not that I would be able to help her cry anyway, but we learned a couple tricks here and there, like the vacuum or standing in the bathroom with the shower running, anything to kind of soothe her a little bit. And so even my presence may not have helped, but yeah, I actually forgot about that part. Yeah, she was right upstairs screaming, and I had to work at the same time.
Try and focus. It's incredibly difficult.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So a little bit, maybe going back to a point you made earlier around that, as a therapist going through something like this, how it sounds like you've come a long way.
You're sharing
here with us. What was it like to work through that? And what was that journey?
Yeah. So I found my therapist, who is amazing. And I sought her out because she specialized in perinatal mental health disorders. And then she also is EMDR certified, and I knew at that point, by that point, I realized what I probably needed and what would have helped me. And so once I started talking with her, I mean, she had so much compassion and validation. And I mean, she was just, she's wonderful. And she helped me realize that all of these steps that I was starting to take was a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. And over time, I think a big part of it was myself even questioning, like, do I love this baby? It's different, right? Our relationship is different than I had with my oldest. And she helped me realize the love was always there. It was just masked by all this other junk that was taking away from the sweet baby cuddles and watching her sleep and the enjoyment of feeding her. And all of those things they were just completely covered up by all of the misery that she was experiencing, unfortunately. And so I think being a therapist and feeling like I should know how to handle this, I should be able to calm my baby, all of these shoulds, and the level of shame that I have or that I had while dealing with this was, what a horrible therapist I am. Am I skilled? I start questioning all of these things, because at that point in my life, I was thinking, well, a good therapist, they would be able to handle this. No problem. And so I was holding myself to this expectation that was just completely unrealistic, that I don't think anybody else was holding me to. So I know that it was irrational, but at the time I felt it to be true.
So in your journey with your therapist, and just for you and yourself, how did you come to a point where you, I guess, could sort of be okay with the reality that you yourself had struggled and it wasn't just that you should have known what to do since you're a therapist?
Sure. I think for the most part, most days, I'm doing a lot better. I think with the work that we've done, with EMDR specifically that really helped change kind of the negative framework that I had associated with it, and that I can still have some of these thoughts and experiences, and it doesn't define me as a mom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't define me as a partner. It doesn't define me as a therapist, which really helped. It doesn't change how much, you know, I love my children, and really learning to not give it so much power, which in the moment when I remember when my therapist said that, I was like, what? I'm like, how could I not? And over time with and lots of sessions, being able to learn that this experience, I could either allow it to take over me and define me as all the judgments that I could think of, or I could say, you know what, this happened just like other things have happened in my life, and I'm going to see if I can change the path on this, right? How can I use this to have more compassion or empathy for others? How can I do this to have more motivation to do fun things with my kids, be more present with them? How can I use this in my therapy work, which ultimately led to me getting certified in perinatal mental health, because I would love to help women go through this, because, I mean, it hasn't stopped. People are still experiencing these things. Yeah. And just to know that there's a resource out there. I didn't know of any, as a therapist, I didn't know of any of these resources, right. Postpartum Support International. I didn't know any of them existed. Right. And now that I've opened that door, it's amazing. And so I'm telling everybody, I'm like, hey, they've got a support group for that. And they've got this. And it's just amazing how much information is out there, but we don't talk about it. It's so common. What is it? 1 in 5 women go through it, and we just don't talk about it. And so I have found that as also part of my healing process, is to talk about it and to kind of normalize it. Yep, this happened. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the best time of my life, but I survived it. I got through it. And now I want to help other people, or at least just bring some awareness to it. Right. Especially being a therapist in the field, I think, again, we kind of hold ourselves to a higher expectation, and we're not immune to it. We can easily have these symptoms too. And so I think it's taken me a while to get to that point, but I'm actually really thankful that this is the path that was kind of paved for me, because I don't know where I would be right now in terms of providing therapy. I don't know where I would be as a mom. And so looking back, I think it's all part of the plan.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you were able to find a specialist. It can be hard to find a specialist if you don't know where to look. And
yeah.
Well, even if you do know where to look, through even COVID now, specifically, it got really hard.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden everyone was busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
Right. So right, I hear your passion in the work. I hear that and whatnot. So in terms of the supports that you had and what helped you through, you found a specialist, you went back to work and helped yourself
the power of distraction. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes it really helps.
It works. Yes, it does.
But looking back into your experience, can you pinpoint, or how did you know when it was kind of time to reach out for help?
Great question. I remember sitting on the couch with my husband one night, and I was just like in a daze. I knew time was passing, but I felt like not a whole lot of motivation to get up, not to really do anything. I remember not really having a whole lot of conversations or texting with friends or family members. And I remember it was a very hard conversation to tell him, I think I'm depressed. Because again, there's that judgment, there's that idea, like, what do you, like, how could that even be possible? And I just remember him looking, he said, okay. And I remember that night I started searching and somehow stumbled upon the therapist that I found. And I just knew in my heart that this is not right for me. This is not how I typically feel. This is not my normal. My sleep was off, which it is when you have a newborn anyway, but to the point of like feeling panicky in the middle of the night. That is not normal for me. Not remembering to eat. I love food. For me, not doing that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, I remember being irritable, lashing out at my husband, just very out of character. And it wasn't for just like a day or two. It was for weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think that, along with the conversation that I had with my postpartum checkup, when she went through the scale of all the questions, and I remember being like, ooh, I'm actually scoring higher than I actually thought I would in terms of level of depression. So that also helped. Before I remember getting screenings, I'm like, oh, this isn't, how true could this possibly be? And it actually helped me again, because I feel like I held myself to a different standard because I'm in the field. Mm-hmm. It helped me realize like, oh crap, like I'm not that special. Right. Like, and so I think those things all happening around the same time period really helped me open my eyes and say, okay, I gotta get this together, because this it's not going anywhere good.
Mm-hmm. Prior to that, did you have like an inkling that was like kind of gnawing at you or whatnot that was telling you like, this isn't me, yeah, something's not right?
I'd say around the 4 week mark, because I was excited for my 6 week postpartum appointment. And I think I was excited because it was finally somebody that I could tell that would understand without judgment. Mm-hmm. Because leading up to that, there was no doctor appointments. I do remember filling out a postpartum screening form at my daughter's, her first in-person pediatric appointment. And I remember they called me probably 3 weeks after she had the appointment saying, we really think you should probably talk to somebody because your screening came back. But it was 3 weeks after the appointment.
And I told
the lady, and I, of course, I was more irritable than I normally am. And I said, not for nothing. I said, I'm a therapist. This phone call should have been made 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I hung up.
Yes.
Because I was so, would have done that anyway if I wasn't depressed, but to the point where it was a really dark time. And I don't know how many other people, and again, it was during COVID, so they were bogged down with a whole lot of other things.
Sure.
But that's the whole point, is to, you check on the baby, you check on the mom in that that appointment with the pediatrician. And so I remember that as well happening, and just shocked that nobody called. I was waiting for the phone to ring. And so I remember probably around the 4 week mark, to answer your question, because I was looking forward to that OB appointment so that I could finally tell someone and kind of take the next step forward, because I was afraid. I didn't know how it was going to be received by family. I didn't know how it was going to be received by anybody. And so probably around that 1 month mark, we were a month into COVID. We were 2 weeks into the colicky behavior, really sleep deprived at that point. Mm-hmm. And I just knew something in my gut just didn't feel right. It didn't sit right with me. And I didn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for highlighting that part too. Not knowing how to get out of it. That's part of the fog of it.
Yeah.
It's like, even if you have the skills, it's that difficult.
Yeah.
It's just that difficult.
It is.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board, so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
So, right, it's been a couple of 2.5 years, I guess, and we've been through quite a lot. You went through this experience and then you realized what was going on and you got the help and then you got the training and now you're supporting other people dealing with this. Kind of, I guess, knowing what you know now, what would you say to parents out there who are struggling with this?
Good question. I would tell people about the postpartum international support groups that they have out there, letting people know that there are specialists, there are groups, there are just groups of women in general. They don't have to be therapy trained that are there to support you. More people go through this than we realize.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we should be ashamed of. It's something that we need to own as part of our journey, as part of our story. Mm-hmm. And with that, with the people that I have spoken with, the amount of people that have said, oh my God, I felt the same way too. And they just, their face like lights up like, oh my God, thank you for telling me. I've been dying to tell somebody. And it's just, it's a part of motherhood, parenthood really, that we talk about how your body changes during pregnancy and what to expect during delivery and even a couple of days after delivery. And then it stops. And we don't talk about what those 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks after birth could look like and what to do to prepare for it. Seeing if you can have a therapist in that final trimester to have it set up in the event that either something with birth doesn't go quite right or your expectations are a little different, and kind of planning for that, even just the adjustment of parenthood could be beneficial. You know, having talks with some close friends or family, like, hey, if I need help. And again, my story is a little different because of the pandemic, we couldn't, but just thinking things that we might have done differently, could we have gotten somebody in here? Would we have been comfortable with a nurse or a doula or somebody to come in and kind of help us have some support in those earlier weeks? But there's so much information out there that, and I didn't know any of it, that I think just doing your research and just knowing that there's so many of us out there that have had it and have survived it, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just may take a little longer to get there than we hoped.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And for sharing your story and just being honest, especially for other therapists who are struggling as well, because there is that added layer of pressure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
To learn more about Laura and the work that she's doing, go to @thrivecounseling_wellness on Instagram or visit her website, thrivecounselingandwellnessgroup.com. And please make sure you subscribe to this podcast and share it with as many people as you can to continue to spread the word about perinatal mental health and how important it is that we are all here to support each other. Thank you for joining us. Until next time.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Please share this podcast. Together we can support moms and families so that no one has to deal with this alone. Come connect with us at momandmind.com.
Oh, hey everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. and that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unstick.